All right, notice with me there, 2 Corinthians 11. Now, Paul is going to use this time of the letter to really, he does it in chapter 10 as well, but it comes out fully and in force in chapter 11. He defends his apostleship. Let me give you a little context here. This is, can you imagine this brother who really had come in and had won a lot of these people to Christ, had preached the gospel, but now it's getting to a point where there's some other teachers that have come in and basically have started telling the Corinthians that Paul was a fake. Paul was really not a very powerful apostle. He really probably wasn't a real apostle at all. And they were just giving him a hard time. And he's writing to these people from the very depths of his heart. And God uses this letter to help them. Now, I'm not going to have time to go through all of the details, but let's just look here at the beginning. He says, "Would to God you could bear with me in a little of my folly." He's struggling a little bit. He's just like, "I'm just going to share my heart with you. And indeed, bear with me." He says, "For I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy." And what does that mean? What is godly jealousy? Well, we know God is a jealous God. There is a godly type of jealousy. And that's not jealous. The difference is that there's a difference between being jealous of someone and being jealous for someone. Okay? It's natural for a lady to be jealous for her husband if another lady is flirting with her husband, vice versa. Okay? A husband has a jealousy for his wife, or a godly, a right one, if another man is trying to flirt with his wife. That's just a heart of love and compassion. And Paul's saying, this is the kind of jealousy I have for you. I care about you. And these people coming in trying to deceive you and trying to tell lies, listen, I'm stirred about this. That's what he's saying. He says, I have espoused you to one husband. He's talking about Christ. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Talking about preparing for the coming of the rapture when Jesus comes back. He talks about that in Ephesians as well. We are, as a church, we are growing in purity. God is doing it. Holy Spirit is preparing us for the coming of Christ. But he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You see, there were false teachers coming in and basically just adding to the gospel, changing the gospel. And Paul was really stirred about this. And notice what he says here. For as he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. He's saying, let me explain a little bit. What he's basically, he's using some sarcasm here. And you're going to see that here in a moment. And that's the point I want to draw. I'm getting to a point where I'm just going to draw it tonight. And we're going to be done. But he's using some sarcasm. He's saying, look, I know I when I came to you, I was not eloquent. I was not flashy. I was not perhaps charismatic like these other guys are coming in. And because, see, in the Greek culture, like, that was everything. Charisma, these great speeches, oratory skills, that meant so much to them. Well, Paul admittedly didn't have that. He had the power of God. But he didn't have all this eloquence that was so. But these false apostles were coming in. They had that. And that's why he says, though I was rude or unbecoming in speech, like in the sense of just not really being that attractive in my speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Listen to this. Have I committed an offense? In other words, a sin. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself, humbling myself, he's saying, that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely or without charge? Now notice verse 8 and 9. Now this is where I want to draw my point tonight. He said, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. I'm going to explain that verse here in a minute. Notice verse 9. And when I was present with you and wanted, or he lacked, he was without some things, he says, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. Those are the Philippians. Those are the Thessalonians. Those are these group of believers up in that area that we are reading about were moved by God, gave sacrificially. And notice it says this, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Father, help me to give this point. I pray that it would help us understand biblical missions. I trust you, Lord. Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Paul is using some sarcasm here. He's saying, I have robbed other churches. Obviously, Paul did not go with a knife to these churches and rob them. He obviously was not talking about maliciously taking money from them. No, but what he's driving home a point, because they were accusing him of not being a real apostle. And it's interesting, the correlation even today. Get this, if you understand the context, the Greeks many times would, and a lot of times, would pay their speakers, especially, get this, if they had a really good speech. If they had a really good message, it was known that the offering, that they would give more and more. Just basically, if he awed everybody. Oh, yeah, yeah. What a wonderful. Well, when he came and preached, he would not receive any funds. He preached the gospel freely. It was without charge. He told those Corinthians, I don't want your money. I don't want anybody accusing me of selling the gospel. I don't want anybody to be confused about the fact that the gospel is preached freely. He said, but I will tell you something I have done, because I did not want to be chargeable to any of you. He says, I do receive help from some precious believers in the regions of Macedonia. They support me. They support me. I don't know how often it was, but we know it was definitely on a common occurrence. They would send money, the Apostle Paul. We could go to Philippians and look at several passages and Thessalonians and see where he had received an offering so that he could preach the gospel to these people to avoid them accusing him. And he uses a little sarcasm here, but he says, taking wages of them to do you service. And I just want to encourage us tonight. That's what these missionaries are doing. They are abasing themselves. And that's what Paul said. He says, have I committed a crime that I've actually humbled myself to come live among these people that God died for you? But have I committed a crime to come in here and lower myself and to live and to try to just live poorly, if you will, but not take any money from you? Is that a crime? He said, I don't think it's a crime at all. He said, look, I believe it is so that you can be exalted. That's what the verse says. If you notice the word in verse 7, it says so that they might be exalted. What does that mean? It means that the attention can be on them. So here's my point. What is the New Testament pattern for biblical missions? It's this right here. It's churches like Crooked Creek Baptist Church. We are a family. We are a group of believers who are unified as Christ is our head, all being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what we do is we have these missionaries come in, and we realize that God has called them to go to a different country. And we determine and we pray, we say, God, would you allow us to help support them so they can go and be chargeable to no man as being a fraud? And by the way, it's interesting. Most countries, even Niger, this was the poorest country in the world. They absolutely required a proof of income before we could even step foot on their soil. And it had to be a significant amount before they would even let us come into their country, because I guess several reasons. They don't want people coming in and taking advantage of the people, but they want to know that you're not going to come in and take their jobs. That's the way a lot of the countries think. Hey, you know, that's just the way all countries think, and rightly so in many ways. So the missionary goes in saying, no, I'm not here to take your money. I'm here to preach the gospel freely. Jesus saves. And there's no burden upon them. Now, they want to teach them to give so that they can support their own national pastors. National pastors. They want to teach them to give so they can give. As Brother Bowman said, many of those nationals would bring eggs to church as an offering. They would bring chickens. They would bring goats. They were learning to give, but it was for the purpose of the church continuing to function and those national pastors. But I just wanted to draw your attention, even though he was using some sarcasm here and a little bit of a rebuke to the Corinthians, and said, look, these guys coming in saying they're the real ones, and he's going to go, if you follow this chapter, I'm not going to get into it tonight, but then he talks about all the suffering that he's gone through. And he was super uncomfortable. Nobody wants to brag on themselves, at least anybody that's right with God. But even Paul used some sarcasm. He said, listen, I'm not even comfortable doing this, but let me tell you what I have experienced as a true apostle of Christ. Let me tell you what these other guys are not going to tell you. I've been whipped 3 different occasions, 40 less 1 stripes across my back. I've nearly died 3 times, nearly drowned, been shipwrecked, been going hungry. He goes through all these things, not to brag, but he's telling them a point. Look, what I do is for the glory of God. It's so that lost souls can get the gospel. So church, let's be encouraged that God has put us in a place here at Crooked Creek Baptist where we can truly take the gospel to those right here beside us. In your workplace, in my neighborhood, your neighborhood, and then we can take these missionaries that are going to Hong Kong and Suriname. Yes, got it. But going to these places, they're going to take the gospel and be able to preach it to them freely. So thank you for your generosity. It's not a waste. This is not just some man-made idea. This is God's program for missions. It is the local church. I'm grateful for parachurch organizations like BIMI that helps the local churches, but this is what God has ordained in the New Testament since the book of Acts, to be the home base of supporting missions all around the world. So let's stay faithful. Remember our strategy. Anybody remember the 3 points I gave for our strategy this morning? What is it? Pray, give, and go. Pray, give, and go. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for our evening service. It's always a joy to be with my church family. I love them dearly, Lord. I just thank you for them. I just pray that we would understand. I pray we'd have the spirit of the Macedonians that are supporting the Apostle Paul types that are going. Thank you for the sailor family that's going to the Philippines November 18th. We pray for them, Lord, that they would be anointed as they have prepared for this day for a couple years. I appreciate them so much. I pray that you would fill them with your spirit and just help them to land on the ground in the Philippines with the power of God. And I pray we would be able to continue to support them, praying for them. And Lord, maybe one day you would allow us to go to the Philippines and visit them on a missions trip. So Lord, please continue to bless our church as we seek to pray, give, and go. And may your people be blessed because of it. Lord, we just commit these things to you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's just take a moment to pray. Let's take a moment to pray for our church and pray for one another and pray for our missionaries. Would you do that with me? Let's just go to the Lord.